So far this year, so-called insider attacks have caused the deaths of more than 50 NATO troops in Afghanistan. Two of the people who've died, U.S. Army Specialist Mabry Anders and Sergeant Christopher Birdwell, were killed on August 27th by a young Afghan soldier who the Taliban claims it trained. That Afghan who shot the American soldiers was then killed by U.S. forces. Reuters Pentagon reporter Phil Stewart wrote about these deaths. And Phil, what do we know about the young Afghan man who did this? And does it look like the Taliban trained him specifically for this mission?
Yes, unfortunately, it does look like this was a real insider attack where the Taliban were able to infiltrate the army and put basically a 20-something Afghan into the ranks of the military, get him in a position where he was able to shoot and kill two U.S. soldiers who were really expecting anything but that. From one of their allies.
So this obviously raises questions about the vetting process for Afghan soldiers. How did this guy get into the Afghan army?
Walayat Khan, who is the Afghan soldier who killed these two young men, had presented a fake birth certificate. All these guys need to get someone to vouch for them to enter the Afghan military, and he got a local Afghan commander to vouch for him simply because they were both ethnic Pashtun. So serious questions are being raised about his vetting. Other questions are being raised about the extent to which cases like this can really be spotted, because a fake birth certificate is not that uncommon in Afghanistan.
You know, right. I mean, what else at this point do people think should have been done to vet them better?
NATO is saying they're going to try and create shooter profiles. They're going back and looking at all these cases of insider attacks and trying to find out exactly what kind of people are doing the killing and whether that there are triggers or signs or warnings that they could spot to stop the next Walayat Khan from attacking. And in this case, unless you actually went out to the town and talked to his family and spoke to people and learned about his kind of extremist or at least anti-Western views, it'd be difficult to know that this might be someone to keep a close eye on.
So what exactly happened on August 27th, the day these two U.S. Army men died? You said somehow this Afghan soldier ended up in a position to shoot them.
They were out on a morning patrol, and the lead car in their convoy hit an IED. This young man, Anders, who was from a small town in Oregon, got out and was trying to load the damaged vehicle for transport away. And that's when a convoy of Afghan soldiers wants to pass. And then they weren't considered to be a threat, so they let these guys pass while they were in a kind of unsecure position, stopped on a roadway, which normally wouldn't be a problem. But the problem was that Walayat Khan was at the turret on one of the passing vehicles, and when he saw these two guys, he decided to take aim and fire.
Phil, you also write that there's another take on what happened, and that the shootings might have been due to some sort of a cultural dispute?
There's an alternate narrative that's been put forward by the Afghan military and an eyewitness who spoke to the family. The idea is, this guy, Walayat Khan, was a bit mentally unstable, and he would fly off the handle at small things, even with family and friends. And apparently there was some sort of dispute at the roadblock where a pregnant woman wanted to pass. And this pregnant woman, I guess, wasn't allowed to pass American soldiers, and this alternate narrative, Khan, overheard this and then just lashed out and shot the Americans. Now, the U.S. Army told me that they have not found anything to support an alternate narrative, that there was no interaction between Walayat Khan and anyone at the checkpoint, that he simply opened fire. But this is the narrative that Khan's family is trying to cling to as they try to reconcile.
These deaths are creating a lot of doubts about NATO's ability to train Afghans to take over security in their country. What's the current thinking now on how and even if these kind of attacks can be stopped?
I don't know that they can. That's based on comments yesterday by the U.S. Secretary of Defense, who just after all these new measures have been imposed and after new security precautions have been taking place, he came out and told us in a briefing room that, in fact, you know, he expects more of these things to happen, that the Taliban are trying to drive a wedge between the Afghan and U.S. forces, and, you know, they believe it won't work, that they, even if they do continue to infiltrate the Afghan military and they continue to shoot at Western forces, that the U.S. And NATO will continue to do its job and they'll hand over in 2014 and everything will work out. The question is whether or not, you know, that's really true, you know, whether or not this kind of security rollback that's happened or this heightened sense of tensions could undermine the training and undermine the partnerships that are needed to make the strategy work in Afghanistan and get U.S. troops home without jeopardizing the stability of the Afghan state.
Phil Stewart covers the Pentagon for Reuters. Phil, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, how a camp in South Africa, where the infection rate of AIDS and HIV is near 20%, is teaching kids how to stay healthy. Back with that in 30 seconds, here and now.